Welcome. You're listening to Casually Baked, the podcast, home base for the can of curious. Thanks for tuning in.
It's high time. We had a high time together. Together. Yes, it's high time. We had a high time together.
Hi, y'all. I'm Joe, your host and cannabis lifestyle guide. Today, I'm serving up a double dose of do it or don't, but do. We're pulling back the curtain on gondrepreneurship with Bassam Hanna, chairman and founding director of the cannabis holding company, Trek Brands. Bassam is a pioneer in the cannabis industry, founding one of Canada's largest licensed producers, TerrAscend, in 2014. As CEO, he brought TerrAscend public through a $52.2 million placement. I'm telling you, there are nugs of wisdom in this casual chat about life and how you live it, and creativity and how you use it, and about building a cannabis business, or any business really, that you're proud to share with the world. If you consider yourself an entrepreneur, or you've thought about getting into the cannabis business, this podcast is in your wheelhouse. So smoke them if you got them and settle in. It's time to get casually baked.
I got the bottle of wine, the high dollar kind. I got the West Coast smoke, but I better just take one.
I mean, there's three sides glass. I did say, like, you know, preferably no glass empty rooms.
Oh, when the ambulance goes by, it'll yeah. Like, or like the fire truck. Yeah, we'll hear that.
Oh my God. Speaking of, I stayed up a little bit late last night working on a project and I'm like fighting to get myself out of bed and the fire alarm goes off in this apartment that I'm staying in the Airbnb.
Boy. Yeah.
And it's so loud and I'm just like, you're just completely disoriented.
It does not stop. Yeah.
It's like, oh my God. So yeah, that's how my day started.
That's a rough day.
It is.
I have two children. So it's like a 6 a.m. wake up call.
You're like, I have a fire drill every morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they're great. It's a good fire drill.
Yeah. Well, right after that, I get ready and I get here and no one's expecting me. And I'm like, well, you know, meeting with Bassam.
Right.
And then they're like, oh, well, that's a 2 and it's 11. I was like, oh, shit. So yeah, this international, and it's international podcast day. So I'm like, I'm epically failing as I try to do an international podcast.
No, we're going to crush this. Watch, we're going to crush this. This is going to be the best podcast of all time.
Well, I'm glad. So, Bassam, tell the listeners who you are and how you got into the Canadian cannabis business.
My name is Bassam Hanna, and I got into the Canadian cannabis business by accident, kind of on purpose. I heard about medical cannabis when it was being legalized, or when it was about to become medically legal in Canada in 2013. And then myself and my two partners, Michael Nashit and Vijay Sapani, we decided to start what is now called TerrAscend. It was first called Solus Health, and then Solus Health became our medical division, and TerrAscend is the parent company. We grew the company together from 2014 to 2018. We hired like the first 100 or so employees together, and then we took the company public. We like hit a $1 billion valuation. It was a really cool ride and an amazing success story. And then it got to a point where I was the CEO of the company at the time, and I started the company when I was 28 years old.
Yeah,
and I'd used all the business knowledge that I had.
Yeah, you're like, okay, I've depleted my bucket of CEO knowledge.
I'm just like guessing now.
Yeah.
So, but fortunately, fortunately, Mike, my partner and the chief operating officer at the time, was far more capable and suited for, like, I'm a really good startup guy. Mike is like he's a beautiful operations mind, and like he knows how he gets business, like, and he knows that stuff. And he's been in that environment before. So it just made natural sense for like, it's like, yo, Mike, it's your turn. And Jason Wild came in as our chairman, and he's got like a wealth of knowledge, and it just like, it was like the perfect storm of great things happening.
Yeah.
And so,
and if you've got a great team, it really is. It's like being on the perfect relay, because it's like you run your leg and then you just
the
like pass the baton.
And you know, somebody told me this, they're like, a great CEO knows when to leave.
Yeah.
right? Because then you're not, you gotta know when it's time, and you gotta know that there's another thing, and like it's
right.
Yeah,
and yeah, know and lean into your strengths, and then like, you know, walk away after that. Yeah. I mean, I feel like I've had 22 years of an MBA in how not to run a company.
Yeah, because it's like
I've worked for these founders, and you can see when it's time to make a shift or where the momentum's going someplace, and the CEO is still pulling back. This may not end well.
Yeah. So timing was amazing. You know, I still consider TerrAscend home. You know, I'm still a large shareholder. I believe in the vision. They've crushed it, like, operationally since I've left. So like it feels really good. After a year or like 8 months of doing nothing, I got extremely bored, and I'm like, totally. It's a waste. We learned what we learned in the first 5 years of cannabis, you know, people would kill for. So I decided, I'm like, I'm not done. I got to do something else. I'm a bit too young to, and I don't like being retired.
Yeah. And good for you. Cause I really think, you know, that's a fun and impressive place to find yourself, where you're like, wow, freaking checked off all of these boxes. Like, I need to make a new list.
Yeah, exactly. The making of the new list is it starts off as a negative process, because I wasn't ready to make a new list. It all happened so quickly with the TerrAscend story that it was just nice to take a step back. But when you're taking a step back and you're just like reeling from the experience that you just went through for the last 5 years, it was like, okay, knowing that I have this skill set now, and knowing that I can, we were holding the reins when that company was being at that point in its life, right? So you're like, I know I can do this. You got a little bit of confidence in yourself now. So it's like, okay, well, I did that one almost not by accident, but I wasn't even I didn't know to consider the things that I know now.
Right.
Right.
So you didn't know what you didn't know.
So I'm like, with that knowledge, though, you know, what kind of person are you going to be? You have control now. Before, you used to do it kind of for the money, you know? And I went through a period where I was like, man, I hate money. And like, it was like a whole thing. But then you realize money's a tool. Money's a tool like everything else, but it just, don't let it control you. And
I want money for the freedom that money, it will provide me.
Money gives you a form of freedom in exchange for a form of paranoia.
I believe that. I know enough people that have.
You either struggle to make money and you're dreaming about making money, or you've made money and you're stressed about how to keep it.
Yes.
Like, yeah. I don't care how rich you are or how poor you are. You're somewhere along on that spectrum. And it's like, as long as you accept the fact that it doesn't matter which side of the equator you're on, like, grass is always greener, buddy.
Well, and you know, and I jumped off that cliff already. So I already know that I can be as equally happy with no money as I was with money, because I quit a six-figure life, gave away all my shit, and moved to Italy and made $12,000 the next year.
But it's then the human interactions that, like, that's the, anyways, but to each their own. Some people.
But yeah, so now just show me the money. That's where I am now.
Really? Okay. and that's cool. Like, everybody's got a, like, so I went the other way. And I'm like, it's scary how big corporations can get.
Yes. Right? And that's what I really want to talk with you about today, too.
Oh, really? Perfect. Perfect segue. Yeah. But it is scary how big corporations can get. And when we were building TerrAscend, I never realized that if you do hard work, with a little bit of good timing and surrounding yourself with amazing people, you can build, like, why not us? Why can't we be the number one company? You know, we were watching these people and build their infrastructure when nobody had any infrastructure. So it wasn't like we were watching what Canopy is now. It was like, no, we saw, you know, Tweed and Bedrocan and Metrum or whatever other ones they bought. But like, we saw them individually, and then they form together, and then they get like a little bit bigger, and then it's just kind of like, it gets to this thing. So I asked myself, if you're going to do it again, what's important? And I'm just like, well, if I'm going to do it again, I'm going for number one. Like, I'm now very confident, and probably a little too confident, but whatever I do, I want to be the best at. So I'm going for number one. Yep. And now I have a bit of credibility, and people will come, like, you know, they'll believe that what I'm saying, I'll be able to execute on. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, well, I don't want to do TerrAscend style things, you know, become like this cannabis conglomerate.
Right. You've been there, done that. Something new.
And I don't want to, I love TerrAscend. Like I openly, I'm like, I have no desire to do anything that I want to, it's almost like I want to grow the pot as opposed to trying to eat somebody else's lunch.
Well, yeah, and certainly because that you'd still be eating part of your own lunch.
See what I'm saying? You know, like, so there's no point in that. So I was like, the next thing that's going to happen in my mind, and we're talking about January 2018, brands. Like, everybody's infrastructure is coming online, but everybody's marketing department is an afterthought right now. Mm-hmm. And when we come in and it's not medical and we're not trying to go after the doctors and in the medical stream, you're educating the people that prescribe, right? Because they need to feel comfortable that they can write the prescription. They know what it's used for, you know.
And it's educating the bud tenders, the ones that are going to turn around and...
Right. But also in rec, you get to create a brand. Like,
well,
are you buying mine? In medical, it's all about like being the exact same almost.
Yeah, but coming from California and being in your dispensaries here, mm-hmm. it still looks very medical, if you will. The shops look really great, mm-hmm. very sleek. But because of the packaging design, you know, you literally are looking at, you know, less than a 1-inch square of branding on each of these. So when I went in looking for a specific brand, it was still like, where's Waldo?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And it's going to be like that. It's meant to be like that. But that's the fun. That's the challenge, right? Like, how do you get around that?
Yes.
And not get around it in like a nefarious way, but it's just like,
how do you get creative?
There's a box of rules. Play inside the box, but get creative. Exactly. So
I like your style. That's the way I am.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm here.
Oh, well.
Welcome to my playground.
So my first thing was I want to make a brand. And like, I'm going to give you like a deep history here. Most people don't even hear this much of the story. Because you can't advertise, I wanted to create a cannabis reality show about creating the brand.
Okay.
Right? So uh-huh. then you're not promoting. But if people want to tune in and watch you build this company, I think it's one of the coolest stories. I went through it once and I was like, we should have had cameras around us all the time, like the way this thing happened. So I went to my two buddies who make television shows, mm-hmm. Adrian Carter and Tom Mudd. Just give them a shout out, you know.
Yeah, well, we'll make sure. Yeah, we'll make sure to get on my reel.
Yeah. I always think like everybody in the world's going to listen to this podcast. I'm like, I don't want Adrian and Tom to be like, how come you didn't call me out?
It's a good thing you called them out.
Yeah. They're
I'm kind of a big deal.
Crisis averted. Yeah. So I called them like, hey, this is what I want to do. And obviously they talked a little bit of sense into me because they're in the business and they're like, the odds of success on that are like, they're not there. And you have to have a story. It can't just be you running a real business because that's not made for TV. You need to add some pizzazz.
Well, or you could do it Gary Vee style.
Yeah.
You know, where you're just in the
cameras
airport.
Everywhere.
Yeah, cameras everywhere all the time. Just upload immediately.
But then it's like, but then you're building around a person or character, right? As opposed to the brand.
Right.
So the brand becomes
your personal
the person.
Brand would then turn around and acknowledge this other brand's.
Right. So that evolved into, instead of me trying to build this from scratch, there's people that have brands already.
Right.
Right. And those are the people that I truly want to work with. You know, I as much as I love the day-to-day of cannabis operations, this thing isn't going to get any bigger if we're just talking to ourselves.
Right.
Right. Like, we got to go outside and talk to people that have influence and say, hey, this is what we're doing over here. And be like, what are your concerns? Why aren't you on this side of the ship? Oh, you don't like cannabis? Cool. You know, or... Most of the time, it's not that, though. Most of the time, it's I'm scared or I don't have enough information or I'm not sure I want to do this because there's like a risk between me and my other businesses or
right.
whatever it is. But every once in a while, you get one that's cool, like cool with doing it. Mm-hmm. And so then you say, okay, come on board. You know, like, let's try to work on something together. So that is a tangent that I went on, but
well, but so by you saying that, so you're saying like you just started going through your Rolodex and like handpicking people to maybe join a team or you
do something
create
together.
Some sort of a brand.
I knew it had to be in brands. Mm-hmm. And so with Adrian and Tom, we sat down and we did like a brainstorm session and we said, this brand can't even be for us. Women are so underrepresented and we need a brand for our wives. The whole idea was if I could get my wife to be cool with cannabis or find a way to have her consume it, that maybe she's not a huge fan of smoking. So that's out the window for her. But you know, if it was like a wine party for her and her girlfriends, if it felt like that, you would unlock a gigantic market. So we set out to start it knowing full well that we had to move out of its way immediately. We're just like, let's just get the embers, hot. Uh-huh. And then let somebody that is qualified, most likely a woman.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
Because you can't have a women's brand that's not run by a woman. I think that's bullshit.
Well, but you know, it's funny that you say that because I get a lot of emails from male listeners that have some sort of question or are wanting counseling on how to talk to their wives about, can we go and buy cannabis when we're in this state and bring it home? Yeah. You know, will she try it with me? Like, you know, and guys trying to figure
for
out
sure.
how to have this conversation with the women in their life. So, you know, I kudos to you for,
you
for
gotta solve
noticing
these,
that.
It's
yeah.
the little problems, right? Like mm-hmm. my life day to day isn't going to get any better unless, and I know I'm not the only one, so I'm going to say this confidently, but I can tell my wife is a little disappointed that I'm smoking weed when I do it. Like, cause she's not used to it. Right. Like, it's like,
yeah.
She's like, I get it. And it's not a big deal, but I'm like deep down inside, like right now before I know she's cool. She's much cooler with, but I know that feeling, and that feeling alone is enough to just kind of turn the narrative and be like, okay, let's all just get smashed. You know?
Right. Yeah. That that little bit
alcohol.
Of a wall
yeah.
goes up because it's like, oh yeah, yeah. Now I'm like, I'm in the doghouse for doing this thing, but I know I'm not going to get in trouble, but I feel it.
And then you start like repressing.
Thing.
Yeah. You start like, you're not sharing something that in moderation brings you some kind of joy because you feel guilty and like all this weirdness. Mm-hmm. So I was like, imagine we could fix that. Imagine all the women were like, oh yeah. We're like, it's like the new rosé, right?
Yeah, totally.
So that was the idea. And so we came up with Blist, and actually as we were doing all this, I had a friend who was in the cannabis industry named Trang Trinh, who is now the CEO of Trek. At the time, she was working at Deloitte as a consultant, and I knew she was really good.
Yeah, I met her at Hall of Flowers mm-hmm. in the spring.
Yeah.
And we exchanged information. I was like, I'll be in Toronto soon. Yeah. I need to hang out with you.
She has a lot more capacity than she was probably given responsibility for at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to think back then, this whole idea of us creating these brands is a one-man thing or a three-man thing. So to get the first employee, that's like the hardest one, right? And it
yeah.
sets the tone for everybody else that comes into your business. So she took the biggest leap of faith, I always say, to get this thing started. And then she got hired and then she brought like a team of people. And now, but while we were doing that, I had... Of all people, I have a close friend who's an incredible entrepreneur who owns, amongst other things, a few barbershops. He was there, and one of the clients that was in the chair was like, they got to talking about cannabis, and he's like, oh, my company is trying to get into cannabis, and what's your company? Inc. Entertainment. Inc. is like a very big nightlife and restaurant purveyor in Canada, I'd argue the biggest.
Okay.
So, you know, they own some very marquee restaurants and clubs in the city and in Miami, and they have like an art gallery, and I'm doing them no justice with this pitch that I'm doing as I sit in their office recording the podcast.
I was about to say, that's where we are right now.
Yeah. They are like, they're so good at what they do that I can't describe it, but I love having them as a partner. But effectively, like, they were trying to capitalize on their influence in the cannabis industry. Mm-hmm. And so, it was, you know, what I was talking about before, like expanding the market, you know, we don't have guys like this that are in the cannabis industry right now. We have like corporate guys and operations guys and quality assurance guys, but we don't have the nightlife guys and the restaurant guys here.
Yeah.
So I ended up meeting with the two founders, like through a series of networks. We ended up myself meeting with Charles and Danny. And I tell them, I'm like, hey, I'm trying to build this company. It's not going to be a normal company. At this point, we're starting to flesh out more of the idea. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I met Trang in, call it October of 2018. I met Charles and Danny in December 2018. And in that time, the business is starting to move really quickly. It's like the genesis of the business is starting to happen. So we got Blist happening in its own little like microcosm over here. And then Charles and his team are working on something called Wink, where they have all of the branding and everything to go with it, but they don't know how the cannabis back end works.
Right. Exactly. Right?
And I'm like, well, I know. And so my friend Roberto, he's like, well, I know Bassam and I can connect you guys. And so I met, like, because of a barbershop conversation, this company is formed.
I love that. See, people, that's why I always say, don't be afraid to talk about cannabis in your community.
Have to, man. You have to. And also normalize it too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
and it's a growing industry. So, you know, everybody else says, like, oh, it's too late to get in. I'm like, we're in inning number 2 of 9.
You right.
Know? Like, we're not... Just because the first inning's over, it doesn't mean the game's over. It's just like we're...
Well, and you know what? And so that's a good time to actually even talk about this, because right now it really is at a time where anybody who has a shit ton of money and a motivation to be in cannabis can build something, and they can make... You know,
sometimes
there's a
you
lot
don't
of,
even need a shit ton of money.
Well,
it helps. It definitely helps.
Yeah, right now it...
Yeah, it's a very capital intensive business.
Yeah. And so, you know, you all of a sudden find this huge rotation of brands that are just, you know, coming in and being cranked through stores. And a lot of time it's crappy products because they are not worried about the quality of something they're putting out. They're just more focused on the sales and the brands and whatever. And so when you were putting your stuff together, like, what were you thinking of? What was your quality conversation?
For Trek? For this, the current not, thing that I'm doing? Mm-hmm.
Because you have to have seen that too. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Okay. So before we go into that, I'll wrap up so that Trek makes a little bit more sense. You know how we started off the conversation and we were just talking about motivation and, you know, money motivated my last huge life business venture. This one, I said, corporations are too, if this thing is going to be the number one brand in cannabis, then we're talking about, you know, something that's as big as Coca-Cola. And I know it's crazy to say that because we're.
I don't think so.
You know, like.
This is a global industry we're building.
This is a global industry that we're building, right? So if you got to believe it, you got to believe that somebody's going to do it, right?
I've looked at myself in the mirror and said the same thing as you. Why not me?
Why not us? Why not us? For real. And anybody that's listening, why not you?
Yeah.
Right. You just got to try and you got to know that we're trying too. So like, you know, competition. So if in my heart of hearts, what I really care about are my values and my values after like in that year of soul searching after TerraSun, I just came up with trust, respect, equality, compassion. They're not my only values, but those are the ones I kind of feel like cornerstones to everything that matters in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I said, that's got to be applied. So the business, we called it TREC, which is TREC, trust, respect, equality, compassion, because of that kind of philosophy. And we use that as our guiding principle. Money comes later, but our mission is we do good and we manage cannabis brands. We have to do, this is like my own plea to everybody, in whatever you do, you have to push and physically fight for good. You can't cannot just say that you're going to like, I care about the environment. Well, then do something about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in whatever it is that you do, you can do something about it. So I'm like, I'm good at making these businesses. And I seem to have a hot hand right now. So I'm going to roll. Look, I want, if this thing does become number one, what do I want to look like? Well, I want the values to be trust, respect, equality, compassion. I want our mission to be do good and manage cannabis brands. And there's a reason that do good is first. It has to be good before it's a cannabis brand. It has to make sense on a, we're not shitty people kind of way. And then we'll crush the cannabis execution side. And then the last thing was to practically do that, like, you know, to like put our money where our mouth is, we donate 10% of all of our profits to charity. and the consumers pick. We are just
a conduit, like, if you will, for, yeah,
executors of the estate, mm-hmm, right? But, okay, like, you know, so like, yeah, we accept all qualified charities, and then it's just a vote day. So all of the charities and their subsequent influencers promote it, promote your charities, and tell people to vote on this day. And however big the pot is, it gets divided pro rata. Like, it's not meant.
So if somebody gets 5% of the votes, they get 5% of the money.
Exactly.
Awesome.
Yeah. And so if you go back to the Coca-Cola example, so Coca-Cola makes like $45 billion a year and $25 billion a year in profit. $45 billion in revenue, $25 billion in profit. So you're talking about $2.5 billion a year and growing.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
I know. That just makes me smile.
It's crazy. Like, that will change the world.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't, we tried, and I'm so comfortable trying my best and failing. Like, I don't care, but I know when I'm trying my best.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So that's Trek.
Yeah.
And so everybody that comes in, all of our very amazing shareholders, we all kind of agree to these rules. And between ourselves, if you're a shareholder, you got to contribute more than just money, you know?
Yeah.
So as we started doing this, when myself and Charles decided that we were going to bring Blist and Wink together and just put them under the umbrella Trek, and then we could build more brands and really take a run at this thing. Mm-hmm. Other people started to look and listen. And then we ended up getting all of the nightclub and restaurant owners in the city and more, like, kind of like across Canada, like, in this with us, you know, like, we support you guys. And yeah, I'm like, amazing. And I'm like, you guys got to feel good about this on some level. And I think it was a really good, like, feel good story. We ended up raising $10 million in our founders round from crazy number of very amazing investors. And now we're rocking and rolling. And Trang's got a team of fantastic executives and coworkers that help her run Trek. And through that, we put out products under Blist and Wink, and there's new brands coming, and it's our interpretation of the cannabis story.
Yeah. You know, in the States, you know, we have some of these cannabis companies choosing to be B Corps, you know, benefit corporations. Yeah. And that feels so good to that you...
B Corp certified.
Yeah, you're supporting
That's
people.
In our shareholders agreement, actually, that we have to strive to become B Corp certified. It's right. In our shareholders agreement.
I love that. I'm very
Talk
proud
is cheap,
of that.
People. Put it in writing.
That's right. Well, and when you were saying, you know, just do it. My life motto is do it or don't, but
yeah.
Do.
Yeah. 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 Don't sit on the fence.
Yeah. Just jump in the net will appear.
Or don't.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, don't sit on the edge.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So, you know, you talked about these transformative causes and supporting organizations. Like, how often does that happen? Is it once a year? Is it every quarter? Like, how is that done?
Honestly, we're figuring it out. So what we've done is, because it's 10% of profits, mm-hmm, it's our first year of operations, there's no way we're going to become profitable. We're close, but like, it's just...
Okay, yeah.
So,
yeah. Yeah, fair enough.
So what we've said is we're going to donate some of like the equity that we've raised effectively, because it's that important to us. Mm-hmm. It's part of our mandate, and we like walk the walk, right?
Yeah.
We're like figuring out how to tangibly distribute the money, but yeah, the visions are that it would be an event in maybe Q1 of the year where all the charities that want to qualify, like, so we advertise like, hey, if you want to take advantage of this pool of money, mm-hmm, you know,
yeah, be a part of this program. Everybody comes in
and like, well, as long as you meet some like bare minimum qualifications, so we know you're a good charity. Yeah. But the reason we don't just say charities, we say causes, is because some things that deserve money aren't charities.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, it's like, if it's like the music department of some school.
Yeah.
You know, so what? Then that's what it is.
Yeah.
You know?
Or
that's
a senior cool. living facility that needs a facelift.
Yeah. Maybe we won't do like CapEx stuff, but like if it really needed like...
Well, I have a soft spot for old people, and I hate how, you know, as they go into these old folks' home, I'm like, can you just like spruce up the lighting and make it smell good in here, and maybe like pump some nice music through it and just like some attention to
them? Oh man, my first love is real estate, and it's something I do now as well, or mm-hmm, I continue to do. Then we're working on a couple of like retirement projects, mm-hmm, and because there's a crazy need for that stuff. there's like class A, B, and C retirement homes. I'm like, I don't want to build any class B and C. Like, I know they're needed, but there's enough people building those. I want to build stuff that I want my parents to go to.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about Blist first. Mm-hmm. So this is a brand that we've created that's female focused.
Yes.
And, you know, we are, by the time this airs, we will be in Canadian Cannabis 2.0.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So this will air in November.
And Cannabis 2.0 is launch.
So that's what I mean. Yeah. So now we've got, you know, fourth quarter basically for people to submit products to then get approved to be on shelves probably in the beginning of next year.
I think Cannabis 2.0 people will start to see Cannabis 2.0 in March, April.
Really?
Properly. Ugh. It'll trickle out.
Okay.
But...
tell me what will be trickling out from Blist.
Well, I don't know if I have the authority to say this stuff. For this stuff?
Yeah, okay. Well, check your notes and see if you've been approved.
Well,
to,
I know it's like vape pens and, well, not vape pens are not they're not as hot as they were before.
Yeah,
so you got problems.
Yeah,
there.
We've got buyer beware.
Like,
and that's great education
it's like
too.
Bombs. I love the bombs. Mm-hmm. But you, here's the thing. Blist isn't for me.
No, I know it's not
you
for
know?
You.
Like, I understand that it's one of the brands that we have under our portfolio. And I can tell you what the goal of the brand is, but how that's communicated is left to far greater minds. And I mean communicated through messaging and through, like, their product distribution. Mm-hmm. You will find that I don't like to bullshit. If I don't know, I'll just tell you I don't know.
Yeah.
It's okay to not know everything.
Yeah, It is. And you're like, listen, I'm just staying in my lane.
Yeah. But, you want me to get in trouble here?
But Blist is going to participate in all the
100%.
Different.
So okay. there's oils that are launching imminently. Definitely by the time this launches, the oils will be out there.
Is there Blist flower that's on the market?
No,
or is
so
Wing
Blist
Felt?
Will,
okay.
Blist will probably not do flower.
Okay.
But then again, it might. Like, what if the consumer says we like flower, you know, or we've tried all of these cool little gimmicky things, but, you know, sometimes I just want to... Like a dry bud vape CBD or I don't know.
Yeah,
whatever.
Well, and that a lot of the moms.
They're all natural. And like,
well, but they also, if they're going to smoke, a lot of times they just want to smoke CBD or high CBD, you know, super high CBD, low THC.
Listen, I drop off my kids at school. Like my wife and I like split it. So when I get into the parking lot and I see the moms like drop off their kids and like suck on a vape pen.
Oh
and
my
like,
God.
Feel your sister. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, it's so true. It really is.
Yeah. And everybody does it kind of in secret. So the whole idea is that it would be unapologetic you. Mm-hmm. Do you? You know, I know that's what it's about. The beauty about Trek as a business is that we don't own any of the cannabis that are under our brands. We are curators of an experience. We go see lots of LPs, right? And we're like, you know what? This guy rolls the best. Just his rolling procedures are better than others, you know? But these guys produce the best product or best flower. These guys can get us distributed into more locations because of their network. So then we get to like pick and choose the best experience for our consumers. And that is our job.
Yes. And as a consumer here who's been trying to smoke joints since I don't have, you know, all of my paraphernalia, I've had a pretty bad experience until I smoked one of your joints before we got started. So tell me what the hell is going on with the joints in Canada. Are they all machine rolled?
Mm-hmm. Well, no, not all of them, but...
Well, I mean, I know yours weren't because that was the... I was like, whoa, this actually is burning and flowing evenly and like...
I need to just defend my LP brethren that everybody like harps on. We've been asked... to stand up an industry in less than 5 years. You know, we are not getting everything right all the time. And some people get some things right, but you can't, how can you focus and get 100% on everything when it explodes all around you all the time. You can't sleep. You're inundated with new opportunities, new products, new competitors, new whatever. So sometimes things slip through the cracks. It's not anybody's mistake. And I hate when people bad talk any one particular company or another because it's like, unless you're doing something maliciously, I know everybody's trying their best. I see it. I've been in their shoes. But there's like cheats, you know, like now we can say, well, this rolling procedure for pre-rolls, like most people, I think have got, the reason people do machine roll versus hand pack is because it's a very labor intensive process.
Yes. And I've seen it in action in a manufacturing facility.
Yeah.
The issue is if you're going to spend, you know, $12
yeah, they're typically
on a
more expensive
pre-roll.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause you know, you're, it's like, okay, I can either show up and buy a pipe or, or a grinder and my own papers
and all the
things, or, you know, just give me three pre-rolls.
Yeah,
so,
pre-roll.
You know, you spend $40.
Yeah.
You walk out of the store and you have three pre-rolls and you take like two puffs off of it. And it is just like this compact hash brick that you can't even suck through anymore.
Yeah.
And it's like completely wasted because you've now pulled all of
the heat. It's not an enjoyable
experience.
No.
And so, and then you've just wasted a lot of money. So I'm not picking on any of you. I'm just saying as a connoisseur looking to have a quality experience with a pre-roll, I'm just saying the way you're doing it currently isn't working.
The beauty about yeah, the beauty about this, the capital markets, is consumers tell you what you want and you either figure it out or they will move on.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, and honestly, what I ended up doing was one of my friends had a one hitter and just opening up the pre-roll and the last one, instead of rolling the dice again, just used it. And when it's pouring out, it literally looked like sand or silt. It was that fine. It had just like disintegrated into powder.
Yeah. That's it. It all of this is just.
Yeah. Well, and I'm also,
I don't think anybody's going to tell you they're in the best version of their company or there aren't things that they wish that they could.
Oh,
improve,
totally.
You know?
And yeah. And one of the other reasons that
realities
I bring this
of
up
the industry,
yeah,
you know?
Is that I have told people on this podcast when they come to Canada, like, you know, just go and grab a couple of pre-rolls or whatever.
Yeah.
Now I'm just saying, I'm reconsidering that.
You got to tell them which pre-roll
to
get.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So, the Wink pre-roll, actually, they are hand-rolled, and I smoked it. It was...
And it's a mid-range sativa buzz. It's a day buzz. It's meant to be smoked casually. Like, it's more of an uplifting
it's
high.
It's definitely functional. You can be casually baked and be on holiday. And
we're very casually baked right now, actually.
Well, I appreciate what you're doing, but yeah, I just had to say that because I ended up then yesterday going into the Honey Pot and buying $6 on the cheapest.
I
was like, give me the cheapest grinder you sell.
Oh, no. Okay.
And so they gave me a $6 grinder. I got a few grams of a couple of different flour and was like, I'll just do it my way again.
Yeah, I get you. But we're going to improve your experience because Wink is a premium brand in a premium price point. This is meant to be... You know, if you're going to buy a bottle of vodka and take it to your buddy's house, like a 2-6 of vodka or whatever, this is kind of like the equivalent of that. You go in, you buy this for less than $30 and it's like, it's on your way. And 2 half-gram joints is going to be more than enough to like get passed around a few times and like do its job.
Mm-hmm.
And the brand is based around that. It's based around like entertainment and nightlife and just like being around each other and like purveyors of like art and culture. And I have a lot of fun when I'm at Wink. Mm-hmm. When I'm talking about and in doing Wink activations, it is.
What are some of the cool things that people might find a connoisseur and you're visiting Toronto? Like, what are some cool things that you're like, hey, you know, get casually baked and go do this?
If it's in the summer, take the CN Tower walk. You will lose your mind. They walk on the outside, like they tie a harness to your back and you walk on the outside of the CN Tower. That's pretty. If you did that, I haven't done that, but I'm saying if you want to be adventurous, you could do that.
That's cool. Okay. So what else? What other cool things are there to do in Toronto?
I'm a boring person. I have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. I go to children's birthday parties on the weekends.
Oh my God. That's fine. But you get to turn around and then go on vacation with your wife. And if you went to San Francisco, you wouldn't have to be dealing with that.
We just came back from San Francisco.
Oh, yeah?
Like, last weekend. We did San Fran to L.A.
Okay.
In the PCH, in Highway 1. And you guys have a beautiful, beautiful state.
It is pretty amazing. And I have to get out the rest of this week and explore Toronto.
You're so close to the water, too.
Yeah, so you have to tell me.
Check out Center Island. It's like a great park Turkey, you know, I would say it's our equivalent to Times Square. No,
Central Park.
Central Park.
Okay.
Short term memory loss, right? Oh gosh.
Because you know, if Casually Baked comes back for the TV series,
mm-hmm. you could do one on the ferry. That would be a cool one. Any single one of the venues along King Street, or if you want like a real, if you're here in the summer, there's not a lot of experiences like Cabana. If you're down to like party,
okay. Is Cabana a festival or?
Cabana is one of Inc. Entertainment's venues. It's like a day party.
Oh, okay.
It's a day party. It's really fun. TIFF. Oh, TIFF. If you come to Toronto, you should try to come for TIFF. That's like that's the big thing. TIFF is the Toronto International Film Festival.
Oh, okay. All right.
That just happened a couple weeks ago. You are asking like the wrong person.
No, that's okay. I want
ask
you.
Ask me about cannabis and I will talk.
Well, that's
I'll
what I meant.
Well,
I'm saying you tell me like when you're high mm-hmm. in this city, what do you like to do? Nothing.
What do you do when you're high? I'd like chill
oh my
with
God.
My
like, well, today.
Take walks.
Yeah, today. I mean, I'm exploring. So, in, you know, I'm a mile and a half from here. I could have gotten in a car mm-hmm. or I could have taken the subway.
Yeah.
But it was a beautiful day, so I got high, and then I just walked and just like, you know, I'm looking around. I stop and take
Yorkville's
pictures.
Yorkville's really cool.
And
okay, Yorkville's a really good area to check out. King West for nightlife is kind of where it's at.
Okay.
As of the time of this recording, I don't want to like date myself.
Shit changes quickly.
Yeah, shit changes quick in the entertainment industry. Catch a Jays game, Raptors game, Leafs game. Any one of our fantastic sports teams. We are the champions, the world champions of NBA.
Every year when the Warriors would win, I'm like, world champions. It's interesting. There's like nobody else in the world except one Canadian team. Like,
I know.
And so this year I was really, you know, if we're
going
to lose.
From all of America.
Yes. Yeah. I was like.
But we'll give it back next year.
But I'm like, now it's truly an international trophy.
It's true. And I can't wait till there's teams from non-North America. You know, like if there's like I think a Chinese team is real. An African team could be real. Not that. Like,
yeah, the logistics and transportation costs would be a real bitch.
They do games. They do one or two games, like preseason games a year.
I know, but imagine if it was on full rotation.
Oh.
Like, you know what I mean?
That just private jet life.
NBA, if anybody can do it, it's
afford,
the NBA.
Yeah, the NBA can afford it, I'm pretty sure.
Well, what do you think Cannabis 2.0 is going to look like in Canada in general? Like, what are you excited about seeing with this new chapter?
I'm really excited for edibles, drinks, like those shots. I really like the CBD and the THC, like yeah. Shot like the Red Bull shots.
I'm totally into the drinkables.
I'm a big fan of those. Although I don't think those are going to come out right away. And even if they do, it's going to take them a little bit of time to come together. Vape pens are huge. I know everybody's knocking vape pens, but knock poorly manufactured vape pens. But
yeah.
There's in Canada, it's much different than it is in the States in the sense that we have a federal regulation that blankets a lot. Like, I know the compliance that these people have to go through. I've gone through it myself. It is... Most of us have GMP certified facilities, and even the greenhouses that we grow in look like, you know, robot farms. This is a very high tech industry in Canada. So the scrutiny around what we can put and how it's processed and the testing that we have to do should give people a decent level of comfort. So I'm excited about that. Also, because I'm not a huge fan of smoking. I've been kind of forced to smoke because vape pens haven't come out yet. But I think I'll switch to vapes quickly. Just for microdosing.
Yeah, I only really use vapes when I'm traveling. They make me cough a lot. And I think it's...
Did you get the sneeze when you like take a big hit and you sneeze?
Oh, I sneeze. Well, and I'm a little bit allergic to cannabis in general. So I'll get a runny nose or sneeze just in general. But I think it's just... too much terpenes.
Oh, it's like too flavory.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they got to perfect it. I wouldn't mind seeing like a whole plant.
Yeah.
Like a good whole plant I haven't had yet.
Oh, so Chemistry is a brand that I really like in California that's doing that.
Nice.
So they're working with some of the Emerald Triangle farmers. And so it truly is just the extract of that.
Of the whole
plant. So you've got... just the natural terpene profile.
But then you also got to like, it's also the device that it goes into, right? Because if it's not burning at the right temperature, even if it's off by a degree, you'll miss it.
Yeah.
Right.
You need to listen to podcast 106. You'll appreciate that one with Dr. Monica Villalpando. Mm-hmm.
I like the technical ones because I'm like, I like cannabis like
well,
that.
Well, and so she was a formulation scientist who worked with nicotine. She's worked with cannabis in the EU and the US, and she helped us dial in what we know about the vapes and stuff. Now, one thing I wanted to ask you earlier when you were talking about choosing LPs that you work with, I'm a sun-grown cannabis girl. I know that's not, you know, something that's completely feasible everywhere in Canada.
Yeah.
But do you choose and make sure you have sun-grown on the roster as well as the indoor-grown stuff?
We will. Right now we have 2 SKUs out and we have 8 in some different stage of launch. We will. And the beauty about the way our company works is we buy lots of cannabis. So if I like a good sun-grown lot, I'll buy it and it'll be a limited run under the brand, right? But yeah. I don't need to commit to that because I can't guarantee. The problem is, you know, that probably happened. It's like a harvest. Like you might get that 3 months of the year.
Yeah, totally.
So you can have that as like a fall special.
Right. And again, that, you know, when you are a premium brand, you look at that like you do the vintage on a wine or something. Mm-hmm. And so if you have a limited run, then you can get premium price for it.
And that's kind of the way that people, I think, are going to start to look at cannabis. Unfortunately, it is somewhat of a commodity. Like, I think there's, you know, I got shout outs to OCS, but they've got a ranking system that goes good, better, best. That is kind of the range of where cannabis is. You either have like good weed, like middle class weed, or you have great weed. Great weed is probably going to be indoor grown, very manicured, you know, like it is small batch, all that stuff. Better is going to be probably like your hybrid greenhouses, and then good is probably, it could be like a good outdoor product somewhere along that spectrum. But people are going to start getting used to the fact that there's more than one amazing cannabis.
Yeah.
You know, there's lots of it. It's like the top 20%.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we just try to pick and choose what that is. Big part of that is listening to our consumers though.
Yeah, totally. And you know, and whenever you said, you know, good would be an outdoor. So is it just because the quality of the outdoor you get is just good and not best quality, or because that's what people consider indoor better here than they do outdoor? Is that a cultural thing? That's all I'm wondering.
No, actually, it's a great question. I think it's more because that's what the buyers for the whole distributors want.
Yeah.
So they're kind of dictating what gets priced where. But there's more outdoor grown cannabis. I think it's just more on a availability thing too.
Mm-hmm.
There's less indoor small batch cannabis than there is greenhouse grown cannabis.
And the micro licenses are just popping up too. So that's
like vintage, you know, like you'll get celebrities making brands.
Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Well, is there anything that I didn't ask you? I mean, this was just a casual chat.
This was awesome. This is the best podcast I've ever done. I don't know if we accomplished anything, but it was amazing. Yeah.
You know, I just like to have a good chat with somebody who...
Same. I'm good with that. And we did talk about like quite a bit of stuff. Just like very casual. See, I'm doing your...
You're folding the cords up all neatly.
Yeah. If I could leave with a parting note, it's... If and when one of our brands comes across any one of your consumers, because we will be coming into the US, you know, eventually, hopefully sooner rather than later, and anybody that's listening in Canada, the reasons to buy us, because we're going to have good product, but like I said, it's a bit of a commodity business. So if all you have is good product and those are the legs you stand on, then that's cool. But we want to take it to the next level. Buy us because we care about a few more things, and it's not like... Trust us when we tell you that I care about the fact that we make money, and we do make money on the transactions that we do, but that's not what's guiding us. And it's not the overall objective of this company. It's just one of the objectives.
Right on.
Yeah.
I believe you. I'm looking at you and I believe you.
Thanks. I appreciate it. We really mean it.
All right. Well, Bassam, thanks so much for hanging out.
Thank you so much.
Hanging out with Bassam, I could totally feel him embodying the core values of his company, Trek Brands. It's TREC, trust, respect, equality, and compassion. They built their core values into the name of their company. So whatever your dream, whatever you want to build,
I hope you leave this conversation feeling inspired and empowered. And every time you look in the mirror, I want you to just put it out there. Why not me? And if you know and love a gondrepreneur that's in the weeds, I hope you'll share this episode of the podcast with them. By the way, I've got some great wellness episodes in the queue for you. We'll talk cannabis and chronic pain next week, and then a deeply personal discussion about wellness management during chemotherapy. Now, I can't promise you there won't be tears on that podcast, but it is certainly going to be powerful dialogue. I'm recording it this weekend with my sister-in-law, Dion. Yes, it's high time. As always, contact me through casuallybaked.com to submit your Canna Curious questions or to learn more about showcasing your product or service on the podcast. Socialize with me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. I'm at Casually Baked. Until next time, puff puff, pass it on. We had a time together. Casually Baked, the podcast, was created, recorded, and produced by yours truly. Editing and sound design are in the capable hands of Arnav Gupta. The podcast theme music is by my highly talented friend Seth Walker. If you aren't familiar with Seth's music, you can find High Time on his album Gotta Get Back wherever you're buying your music these days. I know he didn't create High Time for me, but it sure as shit sounds like he did, right? I hope you'll tune in next time. Thanks for hanging out.